Welcome to the Third Culture Podcast, the podcast which focuses on inclusion conversations with inclusive leaders and EDI practitioners. In each episode, we focus on an inclusion topic from a list that ranges from psychological safety to creating an inclusive culture. We talk about tangible solutions and real-life challenges. We hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to season three of the Third Culture Podcast. This is the first episode. My name is Emily Foster and I use the pronouns she, her. As mentioned at the end of last season, the podcast is undergoing a revamp or has undergone a revamp. And this year we're going to be focusing on inclusion conversations, largely for practitioners and leaders who work in the space of inclusion and related areas. The way that it's going to work is that each practitioner who joins us will be focusing on an inclusion conversation topic from the list I've given them. And this is covering everything from psychological safety to creating an inclusive culture. And the idea behind this is that we get to the heart of some of the challenges in this area in a really authentic, honest way and in a really safe environment. So today, I am super thrilled to be able to welcome our very first guest, Sruti Sojani, who works for the FA as EDI lead. Our paths first crossed when working in the world of creating a more inclusive cricket world, very briefly. She's super passionate in making sports for all, inspired by Bend It Like Beckham. Sruti dedicated her dissertation in understanding the lack of South Asians in sport and higher education, sport degrees. And her passion for a more equal playing ground in sports has seen her appear on the BBC, Sky, and has become a trustee with Miss Kicks Foundation. Sruti's also been recognized as sports industry's next gen leader in 2021. Today, Sruti has chosen the topic of celebrating difference, a fantastic choice for the first episode. Welcome, Sruti.
Thank you, Emily, and thank you for a wonderful introduction as well.
It's an amazing CV. Hard to beat that, but welcome, welcome. Super, super glad to have you here. And the first question is really just to tell us a bit more about your background. Tell us about your EDI journey and how you became a practitioner.
Great question, Emily. So I've always loved sports. I've always loved the power of sports and how when you put on that jersey, when you put on that playing kit, like, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, you play the sport, you play the skill. And cricket was my sport, and I absolutely loved following football and various other sports. And when I was at uni, as you've highlighted, I was intrigued to see that when me and my best friend went into lectures, that we were the only South Asian students studying sports. And I was always intrigued, like, why are there not more girls or females like me who want to pursue sports? Like, it's given me so much. So I've always had been curious about understanding the barriers and challenges and what role I play to hopefully overcome or help overcome those barriers so more people could take the benefits of sports. And then when I graduated, I worked in the corporate world and automotive industry. And when I was in the automotive industry, you can probably imagine that was very male dominated as well. So I was like, where are the females? Like, why is there no more females? And I did a lot of work around setting up networks and groups so people like me, females, women of color, or ethnically diverse women were able to have a voice and just share their experiences. So at that time, I wouldn't have branded it under the world of ED&I because I think that wasn't probably a thing, and it was just more about passion, making an equal playing field. And then in 2019, in the Cricket World Cup year, I saw the perfect role for me, which was to inspire more South Asian women into cricket. And I was like, this is absolutely my calling. Like, there's a job written for me in the stars. This was it. And I think that's where it navigated from, around understanding policies, processes, Really understanding, putting myself in other people's shoes, like building a network. And I think I've just ensured that I challenge myself daily, and ensure that I'm learning something new in this space, because we know like law, the movements that happen around the world influence this space. And it's just about, for me, how do I keep on top of that? So although that's how I probably have got into the world of ED&I, and if you encompass it under that umbrella, that's probably been my journey.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. And much like myself, earlier, before sort of dedicating myself fully to the area, networks was something that I got involved in other industries and organizations, not necessarily thinking about it as a I love the word practitioner, but it's not really, it's more about kind of creating that space where sometimes people feel safe, or where you want to help people to connect with each other. So that's really interesting. And also, just I guess the realization that when you look back on your career, there's probably been so many moments that led up to that point when you then saw that job, that was written in the stars for you.
I've just thought of S Club 7 there. Reach for the stars. But you're spot on. And I think when you take that moment of reflection, I think that's something I've learned more working in the ED&I world, to take a moment to reflect and I guess navigate or pivot my journey. And I think it's definitely, it all leads to, I guess, equality and equity for those that you're passionate about, and that making, I guess, workplaces more inclusive, as you've touched on your ambition with this podcast as well.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much. And you've picked a topic which is close to my heart, the topic of celebrating difference. And it's something that sometimes when I'm doing workshop, I will ask people, what did they think about that? What are their reflections on it? So I'm really super keen to hear about what this means to you. So tell us, what does this topic mean to you in the work that you do, celebrating difference?
It means allowing myself and others to be their true authentic self. And I think I've grown up, and there's probably been parts of me that I've hid because it's not felt fitted in with the norm or the culture around me. And it's only when I started to embrace that I am a woman from an ethically diverse background, I do love sport, I have different interests, etc., that I started accepting my differences add value and bring value to the table, is when I started seeing conversations and dialogue shift from those that were receiving my feedback or in conversation with me. And I think differences is so beautiful. It's what makes people so unique. Like we all are in this world to, whether it's to make a difference, we all bring something very different. And that's our super strength. And I think I don't want anyone to ever mute their super strength, because, and what I'd like to do in this space, and if through my platforms, etc., is allow people to be their true authentic self, whatever that is.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And that, I really can feel that lived experience, that personal experience, that feeling that maybe sometimes, we have to mute ourselves. Someone like me, just for those who are listening, some of you know or don't know, it's really hard to tell where I'm from. And I also present as white, so, but I'm actually multiracial. I'm Filipino and British. So I do think of myself as a predominantly an Asian person, a Southeast Asian person, and I do think of myself as a person of color, because I was brought up in Asia. It's my heritage. It's very much my stomach. And it's funny, if I look back on like when I used to work in advertising full time, I never hid it, but I never really spoke about it either. And I don't think that even though that was such a core part of who I was, I'm not sure. I think that unconsciously, maybe I just thought it wasn't necessarily relevant, when actually it really is, and it was, and I in somehow sometimes I wish that I had been more open about that. But that's a unique kind of situation for me as someone who presents as white, where, in some ways, because of the duality of my life as well, there's this also co a code switching thing that happens. But is that something you've experienced, code switching as well, like in terms of your own lived experience? Is that something you've done depending on the environments you've been in?
Yeah, definitely. Like when I look back, I think I do it less now because I definitely champion for bringing whoever I want to bring to the table, and sometimes that's great, or sometimes that's can be annoying, should I say? But no, I think I've done it historically, and I think, like, for example, like my culture plays a huge part in my life, so celebrating moments or festivities are so big to me, and it's part of my upbringing. And I know, like, going when I was at uni or even in my early careers, like, it wasn't something that I'd speak loud about, or it wouldn't be something that I'd shout about, even though at home it would be everything I shout about and speak about. And I just felt that I didn't have my network at the time. And now when I look back over the last year, like, even working in football, like, my team, my immediate team that I get to work with, like, they spent a whole day with me to understand why Diwali was important to me. And we had the food, we understood the story, but they all took time to actually understand what it meant to me. It wasn't what they've read on, like, socials or Google and what it says what Diwali is. They've took a real interest in understanding what it meant to me, my family, and that was huge. Like, I've probably not felt that accepted, I'd say, probably, like, I don't know, I'd probably say I've probably not felt as warmth accepted than I did that day when I spoke to that immediate team about my Diwali and what that meant. Like, it was just such an authentic moment, and just it felt so real. Like, they were intrigued, and it wasn't, and that's where they celebrated my differences, and that's why, yeah, it was awesome.
That is so lovely, that and such a as you say, such an authentic sort of moment, and a really positive sort of emotional and a connection, I guess, you know, that they made with you as well. I've heard more recently as well that a lot of people during Ramadan, interestingly, are joining their colleagues, even if it's just for a day or two. So they experience that together with their colleagues and create that connection, which again just speaks to me as something so warm and so respectful. So is that something that you've seen as well?
Yeah, definitely. And it's when people are curious to know more and learn more. And this is where, like, it's great that you can visually see differences, where in many ways you can see differences. But then when you actually dig a bit deeper to understand differences in values or beliefs and other aspects of a human, I think that's where the richness is. And ultimately, we're all humans. We all have a role to play in the world. But I think when you really understand why people do what they do, it just, like you said, it adds richness to the relationship. It builds trust. It builds that psychological safety for someone to actually express how they're feeling if they're not 100% one day for whatever reason. So, yeah, it's going that one step further than just acknowledging that there is a difference with you and I in terms of the festivities we celebrate.
Yeah, and also one step further from, you know, having that calendar of events, and sometimes it appearing really tokenistic, right? Like, you know, why are we doing this? What are we trying to solve for when we put that calendar together, or when we're celebrating a particular event? It certainly goes a lot deeper than that. We talked about some of the sort of positives and the opportunities in this area, but I'm curious to know what you feel some of the main challenges are when we think about celebrating difference, and what that means in terms of the workplace, whether it's behaviors or implementing practices. What do you think the challenges have been or could be? And feel free to speak about sport if that's an area that you think, you know, could be, you know, kind of rich for information and insight.
I think the challenges are is, like, sometimes the individual who has the differences probably doesn't know how to bring it up or start the conversation. And I think it's how organizations or workplaces can create an environment which allows for curiosity and allows for learning, but also allows for those questions that provides, like, no judgment. And I think it's important that the individual, but as the workplace, meet halfway, because I think it's coming together around how do I have, for example, being a woman from an ethnically diverse background, how do my colleagues and my workplace make the environment for me to express that I want to celebrate Diwali or Holi or whatever it might be. So I think the challenges that I've probably faced is not speaking up, and I'm sure, like, other and I've, I know others haven't spoken up because of not feeling safe. So I think it's like, yeah, so that's probably one of the biggest challenges that I see in the space and in my experience. And I think the workplace is to openly talk about it and ask questions, be curious, and provide that space is super critical.
Yeah, absolutely. That completely makes sense. And I guess the question that, or the challenge then is that organizations as a whole, particularly those in leadership positions who, let's all, be honest, tends to be still not as diverse in any way as much as we would hope. There's still this absolute fear of talking about difference because they're so afraid of getting things wrong and offending someone. And what we see in the press with or social media where people get cancelled, there's this sort of attitude of, well, I'm just not going to talk about it at all anyway. So how do you think, I mean, we try to change that, or how do we influence some of those people to be in a place where they can start to talk about some of these things that they're afraid of?
I probably see it as like I often say, change the world a little bit. And I think in this space, it's changed the world through one conversation at a time. And it's like providing that support because absolutely people are nervous and scared. And I think when you are in any situation, not just about ED&I, when you're put in a situation that you're nervous and scared, your ultimate response is to remove yourself and or go mute. And that's what people do in this space. So I think it's probably down to because the other thing is as well, like we shouldn't just rely on individuals' differences to be the vocal point, because then it's always going to the person who celebrates X to because they celebrate it, so they're the most knowledgeable. I think there's a bit around workplaces and individuals who lead workplaces to take ownership around education and understanding. There's loads of resources content out there from like even on like social channels, there's so much that people share their lived experiences. So I think there's a bit self-ownership around individuals being curious and learning more. And then I think it's in also ensuring not to put or box people just because they are different to be the only person you go to. So I think it's having a varied landscape of individuals that you reach out to. And I think allyship in this space pays off hugely. And ultimately it's just understanding the person and what they're comfortable with to navigate the conversation.
So amazing. Thanks for that guidance. I love the thought around, one conversation at a time, little by little. Once you start, it's like that analogy where who's on the dance floor first?
See you there.
That'll be me. If it's a good song. And then, and then suddenly you find, there's five people dancing around the handbag. So I think that's a great analogy. And also, of course, those just thinking about how we educate ourselves because there is so much there, right? I mean, I often talk to people about the fact that when it comes to just general cultural awareness, yes, we've got the internet, we can just Google stuff, but we can also go on Netflix and literally just Google almost any language or country in the world, and we will find a piece of content that will basically be a learning for us, that we'll learn about something new that even if we can't fly over there or travel. Which I think, is something that sometimes we're so busy in our lives we forget, and yet we still have time to make for our, well, I have time to make for my crime series, true crime obsession. And why can't we make that extra half an hour to learn about, a culture that we're maybe not so familiar with as well? I also think you make such a valid point around. Well, there were two things there. One is around just acknowledging, yes, difference, celebrating difference is amazing. But it's also, when we think about inclusion, it's about that balance between uniqueness and difference and kind of respecting that, but also belonging, right? It's not about saying everyone's different and we're all our own islands. It's about really loving that difference and that uniqueness, but embracing everyone. So we are together, we're kind of one team in it. But also at a really important point about, not relying on people who are marginalized or different to tell the story for you, to create that narrative.
And I think just building on the two points around differences, like we ultimately, if you take away protected characteristics, we're all different, right? We all have different interests, we all have different like experience in life, we all do things differently. And I think it's really having that view around by sharing, by being vulnerable, by sharing your individual lived experiences to invite others in and allow them to have this conversation and this concept of belonging, absolutely. And I think we've also got to accept that, especially marginalized communities, some of them may not want to speak out, some of them may just want to come and do their day job, and that's perfectly fine. And I think it's having an environment that accepts that, because some people want to share everything about them, but some may not. So it's how do we create an environment that celebrates those differences and how people show up as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I think at one point a few years ago, this concept of bringing your whole self to work was huge. But then that's now been slightly adjusted to, if you want to, you know, if you want to bring your whole self to work, that's the point. Like, you have to create an environment where if people wanted to, they could. But if they don't want to, that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so interesting. So just in this area, and you've shared so many experiences, but I'm curious to know, out of sort of most of all the things we've talked about, what has been your biggest learning as it relates to celebrating difference, if anything?
Oh, that is a great question, Emily. I think the biggest learning, and I know this sounds cliche, but it genuinely is surrounding yourself with diversity, like massive. I can't explain the value add that has pushed me and challenged me by surrounding myself with different people. And I'm sure you would have seen, but like there's an activity around, like, look at your phone and who are the last five people that you've rang. Do they have the same, like, approach, views, values as you? Do they look like you? Are they the same? Like, what is it? And if they are, then you need to change that up. And I think every month I will do that challenge, because I think it keeps me in check. So the biggest learning is it's very easy to get surrounded with people who agree with you, who champion you, who make you feel good, because that's amazing. We love that as humans. But I think surrounding myself with people who will tell me how it is, bring me back down very quick, like a lead balloon when I need to, and equally just challenge my way of thinking. And I know that sounds basic, but honestly, that's probably one of the biggest learning that I've had, and I've probably had to get there because it was due to a situation which I could have approached differently. But now I'd never, like, stop to challenge myself on that.
What an that is not basic at all. That's amazing. I love that answer. I love it. It's just making me think about loads of stuff right now. So that's, yeah, I think that's a huge learning, and hopefully really helpful. As you say, like, you know, looking at the phone, who were the last few people that you called? Are you allowing yourself to be challenged? That really echoes and resonates with me, because one of the things that, you know, I'm also very passionate about is ensuring that for us who work in the inclusion space in whatever area, that we don't create too much of an echo chamber of all of us congratulating each other and talking about inclusion, because you know, there's a whole world out there that's trying to dismantle this practice of inclusion and diversity. If you read the Telegraph, every day there's an article that's basically you know, poo-pooing the whole industry, and so people believe that and are reading it. And if we're not listening to that, and challenging ourselves with what people are saying and why they might be saying it, then we will just continue to be an echo chamber, and we won't necessarily create, you know, the positive change that we want. So yeah, what an amazing, amazing learning. Thank you. So a final question for you cool. is, what do you think is the next stage of this conversation?
Okay, so are we taking next stage of conversation and celebrating differences, or as a whole inclusion?
Well, either one. Happy to either hear one. Your view on those. Yeah,
you're giving me choice. This
yeah.
is terrible. I think celebrating differences is, I think I'm going to share a recent learning I had, actually, is I went to a school recently, and the way the students, and they range from year six all the way to sixth form, and the way the students celebrated or acknowledged differences and respected differences was so heartwarming. Like I cannot even begin to explain how I left that session. And I think I shared, like, we know working in this space can be rewarding, but equally exhausting at in equal measure. And I think having hope and seeing future generations and their view on the world, I feel I have this sense of confidence that you can be whoever you want. You can have your views, obviously without hurt being hurtful, etc. But I think there'll be a generation that accepts you for whoever you want to be, and that excites me. And I know that's probably a few years ago, but I'm really excited for what that holds, and I think that's quite future thinking. And in the inclusion space, I think inclusion, I think the dial's going to shift from the E as such or the D, and I think the dial's going to shift more on inclusion. So I think inclusion will be heightened, because I think if you get the equality, equity right, you get the diversity right, your output is inclusion. And I think we need to focus on inclusion, because you can have representation, you can have initiatives to support diversity or equity, etc. But if you don't have inclusion, when people walk through that door or walk have the opportunity, then none of the other interventions or processes will matter. So I do think the focus on the dial from the EDI acronym, etc., I do think there'll be more conversations around inclusion and how do workplaces, individuals, organizations create inclusive environments. So I think there'll be a big shift and focus onto that. But yeah, that's probably my two takes. But if anything, the future is in safe hands.
Oh, that is so inspiring. And so I did see your LinkedIn post about the school. That was quite recent, right?
Yes.
And that's so inspiring. It's so heartening to hear it. I've had such an inspiring conversation with you today. Thank you so much for sharing everything with me. And thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Shruti.
Thanks, Emily.
The Third Culture is a company that creates fearless and human inclusion conversations. Our services include auditing, learning, and creating intentional spaces for EDI practitioners. To find out more, go to thethirdculture.space and get in touch.